turned on the Jets game. The Jets are awful, but their quarterback might be a decent quarterback, but he got hurt. Who knows if he's going to come back this season or anywhere. And
so then I just found out.
Well, I think it's all part and parcel. And then I just found out I was deleting emails that Jen was supposed to read. I have like a group email account. So sorry about that, Jen.
Put on your ruiner jersey, Tom.
If I'm awful on the spoiler con panel tomorrow, it's Tom's fault, not mine.
Yes.
Tell, Jen, tomorrow when you get on there, you can tell the story of how Tom, it's Tom's fault to everybody.
Don't worry, I will if it comes up. I doubt it will. He's a ruiner.
It's true.
It's his nature. Okay. All right, let's get started then. Let's do it. I'm throwing off my game. It's Thursday. It's a little weird today, so.
It's true.
Welcome to Talk Around Riyadh, the Wheel of Time showcast. I am your host, Joe Perry, here with my co-host, Jen Isgrow. How are you doing tonight, Jen?
I'm doing good, Joe. I'm excited for the coming weekend, spoiler con. If you're listening to this show when we normally release it, you will have missed spoiler con, but for anyone listening live, it is this coming weekend, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I'm excited too. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a packed weekend of Wheel of Time content. And how is my other co-host, Tom Kokoza? How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. I'm feeling inquisitive tonight, Joe. I might ask a bunch of questions. We'll see how the night goes.
Yeah, so we kind of threw this show together, not last minute, but, you know, because SpoilerCon was this weekend and we had a lot, you know, we're on some panels and we were like throwing the idea around of possibly not doing an episode this week. But then Tom and Jim were like, hell no.
Yes, right.
We've got to keep our streak alive. So Tom came up with some questions that he's going to ask Jen and I. And I assume you're going to answer those questions yourself or no?
Yeah, I mean, whatever people want me to. I've thought of answers. Okay. Yeah, and this is like inspired by what we call it? I don't know. What's the tag thing, whatever it was, right? That was passing around a little while ago. So maybe if people think this is good, feel free to steal these questions and do them on your own content creator platform.
Yes, it's a good idea. But we do have some news also to talk about. So, of course, it wouldn't be a Talk Around Riyadh without news to talk about. Although I feel like we did have one episode where we didn't have news to talk about. But not this one. We do have some news, so let's get right into it. This was posted on Twitter by Geeky Ari. She had found some casting announcements, or not casting announcements, I should say casting calls from that, I think it's Extra Films, that's handling the extras casting. Two of them, actually. One of them, I think, was from a week ago, and the other one's from this week. Both of them looking for babies. We've got a lot of baby casting calls.
Babies.
Yeah. So the first one was they were looking for a 10 to 15-month-old girl with dark skin and eyes needed for a number of days. And these were all in October. It looks like the beginning and mid of October. And then the other one, the more recent one, this one is for November 3rd, and they're looking for 10 to 14-month-old, oh, I'm sorry, 3 to 7-month-old babies for November 3rd. Sorry. So, again, dark-skinned babies. Yeah, so.
Joe, you're talking like there's words missing from the sentences you're trying to say.
There were other words in this description, but it's, you know, it's one of those Google Translates, and I don't know if I would feel comfortable saying some of these words, so I'm not.
Sounds great.
I just have to say this. One of them is for two babies, a main baby and a backup baby. So.
Okay.
That just seems wrong. So any ideas? They're asking for a lot of babies. Do you guys, what do you think all these babies are for? I have a theory, but I want to hear yours first.
Well, was it written somewhere that they were supposed to be children of one of the main characters? Where did I hear that?
Oh, yes. I think the new one, I'm trying to look at these. Sorry. I feel like that's correct, but I'm trying to find the actual words.
Yeah, I don't know where that's from. But it's bothering me because nothing in the eye of the world where a main character would have a baby. So that means we're kind of, unless it's a dream of some kind, means they're kind of stepping a little bit away from eye of the world if it's not a dream.
I would bet that it is a dream. I think when we first heard this baby casting news way back when, I think there was still a strong impression that this series may have a significant portion of The Great Hunt in it. And I think everything that we found out of late seems to indicate that isn't the case. So I'm guessing that these are Perrin's dream babies.
His dream babies?
I think that, you know, there's a thought that there's a actress who was cast to play Perrin's wife. This is something that was propagated on a site that I don't, you know, trust. But there is a, you know, whether it be maybe whether his kids or a nephew, niece, you know, situation, whatever the case may be. I think that he may have a dream where he's back in the Two Rivers and there's some babies around. And I think that's what these babies are for.
Go ahead. And then
I was just going to say that that I do have what you were talking about, Jen. This was from the casting call, though, from back in March, where it says she will introduce the daughter of the main representative. The second baby is like a backup. Therefore, ideally twins. They could be boys, too, because I think they were looking for girls. But this is from the March 10th casting call for 3 to 7 month old babies. This is a new casting call for 3 to 7 month old babies. Now, I don't know if this is a separate, these are separate babies.
Did they ever get
purpose?
Did they ever get to the March?
That's what I don't,
maybe
I don't know.
Maybe they didn't. So they need new ones because the ones they had were, are now too old.
Well, yeah, because I think they were originally supposed to be for April 8th, but filming got shut down. So this sounds like a new casting call, maybe for the same baby role.
Right. I was going to say there were no babies in block one that we knew of, right? Or there was no baby casting call put out.
No. I mean, this could just be a babies in the crowd. If it's like a Threat Faldara or something like that, or yeah, at the White Tower.
If it says it's a child of the main main character, then it's not going to be.
Well, it doesn't even say that. It says she will introduce the daughter of the main representative. I don't even know what that means.
You know what that means. We all know what introducing the daughter of the main representative means.
Sounds like the baby's going to introduce the daughter. Star Wars line.
Is the baby going to introduce one of the daughter, like the daughter? Maybe they mean daughter. Maybe that's like the Amarlin, how she refers to the Aes Sedai as daughter.
No, the baby's going to introduce him.
Yes. There's going to be a baby sitter of the hall, and she's going to introduce the. I don't know, Jen.
It's like Aaliyah from Dune. Right?
Yes. I can't wait to see. I wonder who they cast as his sister. That's going to be cool.
Can we stick to the middle time?
I don't think the sister's going to be in the first part. It's the first of this movie that's coming out is only the first half of the book.
That's right.
I was going to
say. Sorry.
I was going to say maybe I had like a morbid thought that maybe he has kids who also die in the Attack of Winter Night and then he's dreaming about them later. But that would be really awful.
Yeah. These could just be babies that get eaten by Trollocs. That's my theory. Some baby stew.
I hope not. I really don't want to. I don't want to have any scenes in the show where I have to put my head under a blanket with my fingers in my ears.
Can you picture though? Like, just imagine like a Trolloc and think of like, you know, how the Trolloc would look, and it just like picks up a baby and then just like puts it in its mouth.
No, they wouldn't show that, but they wouldn't have to. You could like your imagination would do the rest.
It would pick up a baby.
They're
by
not
the
gonna
leg,
put that in the first season.
And then it would like cut away and then, and then it would just have a leg. And it's like it would just,
just the leg.
Just holding the leg.
The We're gonna lose all our listeners right now if we keep on this track. So we better stop. Right.
All right, so let's get off the babies. Let's leave the babies alone.
Get off the babies!
Tom, maybe they're using these babies to measure bags, the
true.
Size of bags.
What?
That's an inside joke and a half. We used to, you know, judge the size of a duffel bag or like a piece of luggage by how many babies it could possibly hold. Just in case. I think this all came about, this is totally a tangent, but sorry, guys. I don't know if this is making the actual show. When we used to play D&D, we used to have like a joke in game that like you could find like a demon that was in disguise because demons eat babies. And so like there would always be clues that babies were missing and that somebody was a demon, really. And it was like just a running gag. So I think like the bag full of babies came out of that. And then we started just using that in life, whenever like someone brought a new piece of like luggage or a new bag to like carry whatever, hey, that's like a 3-baby bag. That's pretty good, you know.
Is that why you call it a 6-demon bag?
No.
That's from what's it called? Big Trouble in Little China.
All right, and you know what? There's other people listening to this, not just us. So we shouldn't probably.
I just want all the people who are listening are now going to look the next time they see a duffel bag. they're going to say to themselves, like, I don't know.
Or
like,
a backpack.
Or a backpack, yeah. You know, in 3 years when they go on vacation again, they could, you know, take out their luggage. And they could say, it's like four babies.
It's a four baby bag.
It's a four baby bag.
That's how you judge the size of a bag. I think we were talking about, not to keep this continuing, but I think we were talking about, Tom, I think this came about, I think it was a commute thing. We were on the ferry or something.
No, impossible.
And we were talking about how, like, when you buy, maybe somebody had bought a bag or something, and we were talking about, oh, how big is the bag? And we were talking about, like, the measurements that you see for a bag, like the cubic volume or whatever. Like, nobody knows what the fuck that means.
That's right.
Like, a cubic, you know, it's about 0.75 cubic feet. Like, no one knows what that is. Why don't they use something that people can reference in their minds? And that's when we came up, I think, with babies.
That's right. Everyone can knows roughly what size a baby is.
Yeah, everybody knows how big a baby is. So
bigger than a bread box.
Wow, this was way too long talking about babies. So let's move on to the next piece of news here. On Instagram, and Narg found this. He posted it on the Daily Trollic. Kai Alexander's casting agency posted a picture of her captioned, filming begins today for at Kai Alexander the Great on Amazon Epic, hashtag the Wheel of Time. This was posted on September 29th. I love Narc's caption for this. Narc captioned it, wonder if they realized they just gave us something significant. They just gave something significant away. This seems to rule out her having been in earlier episodes. And then shortly after that, it was taken down. So, you know, it sounds clear to me that this is her first time filming for Wheel of Time.
Yes.
All right. So that precludes her or excludes her. What was it? Precludes her. I don't know. One of those, it clues her some way.
In some way, she's clued.
In some way, she is clued. That's correct. From being in the first three blocks. So, well, this is probably the third or fourth time we've discussed something like this. But another piece of evidence that suggests that they will not be meeting Min in Barillon, which then could possibly lead to them cutting Barillon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Barillon's definitely cut.
Yeah. I mean, I always thought it was cut.
Definitely.
I know you were still holding out hope.
I moved, but no.
Is there any hope? Do you have any hope left, Jen?
I don't think so. I know they have to change things for the show. Obviously, we've talked about this a lot. But I think the quick meetings that he had with Min and with Elaine were like good laying of groundwork for, you know, what was to come. But I guess he could still have that with her in Faldara. It just seems like it's going to be different to me. Which, of course, the show is going to be different. I don't know. I don't necessarily like it, but I'm sure it'll work.
Tom?
I'm just, you know, I was right. I'm going to say that. I've been on this train for a while that Min is going to be from Faldara or in Faldara. That's the easiest way to kind of do that. I think it fits in with kind of what they're trying to do with the show and make it less British and make it more like a multicultural kind of a thing. So, yeah, I think that that's what this kind of implies to me. It doesn't set it in stone. I mean, she could still be wherever. Someone mentioned that they could make Barillon a town outside of Faldara that they reach when they leave the ways, and they could just move it. That's also possible, although I think that that would be cluttered. I think it's more likely. And I think it gives Min the reason that Min is just in the White Tower less of like a coincidence kind of a thing and more like, okay, well, if she's in Barillon and like she just gets, okay, when the girls go back, she's going back too, that allows their bond to make more sense. It allows that storyline, I think, to be cleaner. And it gives Rand more time with her than like, I don't know, whatever, like 15 minutes. So
wait, how so?
Because Rand will be in Faldara for some time in between when they come back from the Eye of the World and when he leaves. So
you think she's going to stay in Faldara the whole time?
I think she'll stay and she'll go when the girls go. I think she'll go back with the girls to the White Tower.
Yeah, so I was kind of holding out hope that she was going to be in Camelin, but it doesn't sound like it, unless they're still in Camelin at this point, which I don't know if we have any evidence that suggests that they're still in Camelin at this point. But then my thought was, yeah, I think we were talking about this maybe on Discord or something, that possibly they go to Faldara. Min's there. He meets Min. And then at this point, the party splits again. And that Egwene and Nynaeve and Min go to the White Tower from there. Maybe the Amyrlin and you know, whatever, the Aes Sedai show up there at this time. And then they wind up going to the White Tower with them when Rand, Moraine, and Lan and Loial go to the Eye of the World. It's a possibility. I don't think that's going to happen, but I thought it was a possibility.
That's a lot for the Aes Sedai to leave already before the Eye of the World, to get there and leave.
That's true.
That's like too fast. And you kind of need...
I guess that's true.
The Aes Sedai to still be there, like at the beginning of the Great Hunt story.
Yeah.
So
I mean, either way, I don't think Min's going to the Eye of the World with them.
No, I don't think that either.
But yeah, that's a good point, Tom. So then when they come back, they spend time in Faldara. If it plays out like it does in the book, she'll be there for a while, and that'll give them time together.
Yeah.
To fall in love.
Yeah, I could see like Moraine meeting her there and then sending her, telling her she has to go to the White Tower rather than like, how does she end up going to the tower in the book? Does like Moraine tell somebody about her and they send her a letter or is it something like that? Or does Moraine tell her to go?
I think Moraine sends her there. But yeah, she doesn't go with anybody else that we know of, I think.
Right.
And just for the record, I looked it up. It's exclude, not preclude. So I knew it was some sort of clude. do you guys have any last bits you want to add to that?
No.
So I think we're all in agreement that Min is going to be in Faldara and that's where they're going to meet her.
I guess. Oh my
I know you don't want it.
I don't
sorry,
like
Jen.
It.
So Jen, here's the question. Okay. Do you not like it because you didn't have that written down in your notes or because you don't like the idea?
I don't know. I just don't like it. I liked him meeting her in a different location. It's going to be so fun and interesting to see it because I honestly have no idea. There's so much going on that it could be like so different even from what we think. So I really, I don't know. I feel like it's a lot going on then at Faldara. But if Padden Fain isn't even in the rest of the first season, then maybe it's not that much going on. You know, maybe the time that they spent talking about him, they could spend meeting Min. So I guess it wouldn't be that rushed.
I have a theory about that, about Padden Fain and Johan Meyer, right? Because there was the article that he was only signed for one episode. But I believe it said that there was possibility of extra episodes or more of a role. I don't remember if it was more episodes in the first season or just kind of hinted that he'll be back. But what if they purposely released that he's only going to be in one episode? So to throw the viewers off, right? Because wouldn't that be cool if like they release he's only in one episode. So you see him in the first episode or the second episode or whatever. Then he disappears really. Maybe you hear about him, you know, because he's following them. I mean, Rand runs into him at Bear-Lon, but obviously that's not going to happen. Does he not run into him at Camelin? I don't know. Maybe they keep it secret.
Yeah, I don't know if we need all that.
And then he just shows up at Faldara and like as a surprise.
Oh, just like so the main audience doesn't expect him to be there?
Yeah. Yeah. Casper just put it in the chat. The quote is, Johan Meyer is currently booked for one episode with potential to return.
Yeah, I mean, obviously know he's going to return. Like you don't actually cast Padden Fain for one episode.
In the first season though?
But it's not potential to return. That's like a throwing off term because he's definitely going to return at some point.
Yeah.
I think, Joe, I think you might have hit it on the head. This might be like, and Kevin Spacey as John Doe kind of a thing where like they're going to only have him credited the entire time in the first episode. And then maybe seeing him in Bear-Lon. There's a possibility that they cut him in Camelin, right? And then all of a sudden he shows up at the end and like there's somebody following them. You don't know who it is. That sort of a thing. That could be kind of cool. Back in the day when Twin Peaks was on, they killed off one of the main characters in the season finale of, I think, the first season. And they were like, she's out of the show. She was out of the credits, not in the show, blah, blah. Like a few episodes into the second season, they brought in like a new character. It was like an Asian gentleman. They had like a whole, that he was credited. They had a whole story for him. He had like, you know, whatever, write-ups and like the entertainment things, whatever. But it was just this actress playing this character, like in heavy makeup and drag or whatever. So like they tried to make it like that she was really dead and nobody knew she was, but she was still on the show. So maybe this is something like that. Like they're just trying to con the marks, you know?
Uh-huh. I'm still not buying that he's only in one episode,
right.
In the first season.
I think he'll be back. I think he will be back. I think that if possible, there will be evidence of him filming sometime in the next month or two.
Yeah, that's what everybody's got to keep an eye out for. See if we can get some Johan Meyer. But I don't really see him on social media at all, so it might be hard to find out where he is. And we have one last piece of information that was just came out today. Thanks to WattSeries.com for getting this one out. It seems like just in time for our show. Because this just came out about like a couple hours ago. So they found a new filming location in the town of Teresian. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but
yes.
It's probably... So there's a fortress in Teresian that was apparently was a concentration camp at one point that the Nazis used. So that's a downer.
Yeah.
And filming took place on September 29th to October 1st. It says in the article that there was whatever scenes they filmed involved carts. And if you take a look at these pictures, and I encourage you to do that, go on WattSeries.com and look at the article. This place looks exactly how, well, not exactly, but you look at this place, the pictures, and you're like, this is Faldara.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not very fancy and, you know, pretty. It's just, you know, straight angular walls and arches and bridges, basically how they describe Faldara. Does anyone think it's not Faldara?
I do not.
No, it's. I feel like it's not. Yeah, I feel it's close to 100% of what I pictured Faldara to be. We were talking a little bit before the show. I think the only thing that's different in my head, not that it's fact, is I pictured the walls of Faldara being a little higher. But other than that, yeah. I think it's exactly how I pictured it.
Still could be higher with the magic of computer generated images.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, I would think it was Faldara anyway, but it's right in the time period where they would be filming Faldara. So I think it's like 99.5% Faldara.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I will go higher than that. I will say 100% Faldara. Whoa.
That's
a bold prediction. Bold.
I don't think it's too bold.
It's daring.
What else would it be?
Nothing, but I thought Jen was going to go 99.44% pure. I thought she was going to do that old, like I was an ivory soap. That's where she was going with that.
No, sorry.
What, you don't just quote taglines for commercials 30 years ago like
I do? I definitely do. I just don't remember that specific one.
Oh, you, Dennis Miller?
I have to tell you, Dennis,
obscure references.
If I were a comedian, it would be in the Dennis Miller vein.
But I can see that.
But I'm not.
You guys got similar hair.
That's also true.
It's you know, not like older Dennis Miller, not when he had like the long Saturday Night Live hair.
No, I don't have a mullet. I don't have the mullet.
You could if you tried.
Okay. So that is our news for the evening. Now let's get into the juicy part. Ooh. So Tom has crafted these 10 questions for us. And I will warn you. Well, that's not a warning, but I will let you know that we have seen these questions beforehand. So Jen and I have had time to think about the answers. And obviously Tom has as well. So that's not going to be like a surprise to us.
No, this isn't a pop quiz. It was literally like we're trying to figure out whether we're going to do a show or not this week. Like I think we came to a decision probably like we're recording on Thursday. I think it was Monday or Tuesday that we said, okay, let's do it. And then we were like, well, that's not a lot of time to prepare. So I was like, I'll just write some questions and then we'll do that. So again, this was inspired by Redeema's. I think she called it a book tag or whatever it was. I think she came up with it for her YouTube page and then kind of spread around some of the content creators. I thought that was a great thing. We did that. So this is inspired by that. This is all kind of show related, though, not necessarily book related. So there we go. So here, guys, is the first question. I will ask it to Joe. You can answer this one first, and then Jen, you can go second. Okay. All right? So it's been mentioned that the accents as imagined when reading may not be exactly what will be portrayed in the show, and that actors on the show are encouraged to use their natural accents. If so, if that is true, which accent from the books will you most miss if it's not in the show?
Okay. So there's really only two accents that they really describe, and unless I'm missing something, there are really only two accents that I distinctly remember Jordan describing, and that is the accent of the Shaunchen and the accent of the Illyrians. Are there any other that I'm missing?
I could think of another one. What's the accent that Leandrin has? Where is she from? I forget the name of her country.
Tarabon?
She has like, doesn't she have like a, I feel like she-
Taraboner accent?
Like a Russian accent. That's how I pictured her talking. Sometimes I feel like that came out. Am I wrong on that?
Okay.
And
Like Eastern European.
And it's not, I don't think it's canon in the books, but it is canon, I think, in Jordan interviews and such, that Andor is British and the Two Rivers is Irish.
Oh, that's right. But he never describes that in the books.
No, he doesn't. And
so
that,
I'm going to go.
I always pictured, well, whatever. But there's others. And then this is more your head canon of accents that you pictured that you will miss in the books. So you
to be honest, I don't picture anything that's not somewhat described in the books. So
okay.
It's clearly not the Sean Chin accent. So I'm going to go with Ilian, the Ilianer accent.
Okay.
I love it.
Yes, it's great.
Now, here's the thing. So I have gone through a different headcanons of exactly what that Ilianer accent is supposed to sound like, because at one point I thought of it as like a Cajun accent.
Mm.
At another point, I thought of it as a Scottish accent.
Huh.
And then I know, didn't Jordan say Dutch?
It's Dutch.
I don't see that as being Dutch at all. But
I don't do it. I when I talk an Ilian accent.
And then it became a pirate accent. It's pirate. So.
Right. So.
But I can see Scottish. I can see it being a Scottish accent. But yeah, it's probably a pirate accent.
So, Jen, how do you feel about the answer to this question? Is there an accent that you pictured when reading the books that you will be most upset about if it's not in the show that way?
Well, I picked the other accent, the Sean Chin accent.
Okay.
You're really going to be upset if there's no Texas
drawl? I'm kind of looking forward to that because it's so different from anything we've ever seen. It would be like, I mean, I wouldn't want it to be comical, but I just think it would be, it definitely separates them from the world that we know. It gives them like a total, they're like total outlanders from everybody else. I mean, I think that, like you said, they're encouraging people to use different accents, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say the majority are going to be hovering around like a British accent of some kind. So I think people coming in that are supposed to be totally different in culture and having an American like Southern accent, I just think that could be really cool if they do it well. So I would be a little upset if they change that.
Okay. So here's question 1A. Since the answer is clearly Ilian's accent, even if you happen to answer differently like Jen did, please do be giving us your best Ilianer's accent. Right? So that was the second part of the question. Please, Joe.
That's not a question.
It is.
That's a demand.
I said, please give it to me. That's it's a request.
Okay. Again, we've had time to prepare, so I pulled a line from the books. And I will be giving you my best Ilianer accent.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
You do make me stretch my neck on the headsman's block because I did leave you at Falmer. Fortune prick me if you do know. Well, it do be done now. You can no object to this.
I hate my
I don't even know what I just
I
said.
I hate my sentence. That is probably, I totally want to go grab the book and find another sentence.
No, Jen,
no. I wrote it like a pirate. It's a pirate sentence.
Please go ahead.
I was going to just like quote like Pirates of the Caribbean as well.
I just used literally the answer. I'm saying the answer to the beginning of the question in an Ilianer accent, basically.
Okay, so let's hear it.
I'm so embarrassed. I can't. All right.
You're embarrassed. Joe just did that. But that's from the books.
I can't. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to laugh. The Sean Chin accent do be the one I'm missing most.
Okay, that was good.
There's nothing to be embarrassed about with that.
I'm literally doing the guy from Pirates of the Caribbean that I picture as Bale Dolman.
I have a hard time reading this because it doesn't make any sense to me.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I do like the exclamation, fortune prick me, though.
Yeah.
Fortune prick me if you do know, and it's not K-N-O-W, it's N-O, well, yeah. It do be done now. Like, well, it do be done now. That sounds like Mushmouth from Fat Albert. Well, it do be done now. OBKB.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. So,
all right, let's get on. Next question.
All right. Since somehow none of us were cast in the first season of this show, which parts would you cast your co-host in if you had the ability to do so? Jen, which parts of would you cast your co-hosts in the show if you had the ability to do so?
Okay. I picked two for each of you. So I gave you guys one dark friend and one light friend, I guess. One good guy and one bad guy. So I'll do the bad guys first. I cast Tom as Samael and Joe as Asmodian.
Nice.
I guess Thomas Samael too.
I don't know what that means, but that's cool.
I don't
cool.
know either.
Oh, wait. And then for the good guys, I cast Tom as Gareth Bryn and Joe as Narishma.
Oh, nice.
I actually, you know what's so funny? Gareth Bryn was my other thought about Tom. So that's so weird.
I'm Narishma or
Asmodian. Yeah. Okay.
But you have to wear bells cool. in your like hair. That. You have to grow your hair longer.
That's right.
And wear
Narishma.
Bells.
Is he Tarabonner or is he from Arafel?
He's from Arafel, I believe.
No, Arafel, well, the bells in there. All right. So I had Tom as Samael as well. And awesome. I had a Jen, of course, as Min.
Right.
Which I think Tom, you probably did too. So.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I always thought that Jen should be Min, but I actually, even though I didn't put this in the question, I precluded people who were already cast. So.
Or did you exclude people who are already cast?
Well, I think I excluded them before they had a chance to be cast. So I think that's what precluding means. Anyway, so I wish I did multiple things though. Jen's answers were the best. So I had Joe as Taim.
And, I thought about that too.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, and
I like Taim.
And because I didn't know like this at all. I had Jen as Fael just because I wanted to.
Oh, okay. I'll take that too. It's a cool.
Part A, what other Wheel of Time content creators would you cast in a role? So if you could give me one other Wheel of Time content creator cast in the show. And I'm going to put this on right now in case I did not tell you this in the question, but no casting Matt Hatch as Matt Hatch. You can't cast him as himself when he appears in the Dusty Wheel in the last book. That does not count.
No, that's a cop-out.
Okay, I didn't do that.
Yes, exactly. So
Joe, you go first.
You want to go first? Okay. So I figured since we just had John from What Up on the show, I would cast him as Bail Dolman.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you I did the exact same thing. So John, that's two for
I
you.
I feel like I kind of copped out by casting Lauren as an Aiel.
Oh, because of the red hair, the ginger. I like that. There we go. Lauren from Unraveling the Pattern.
He would also be a good Herod Fell.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I could picture him as a Herod Fell.
Yeah. All right. That's cool. Number three, what character moment, not a big dramatic set piece like Dumas Wells, but a character moment do you feel is a must for this adaptation?
Do you want to go first, Jen?
Yeah, I'll go first.
I have a ton of answers, so go ahead.
I know we already... Oh, I have one answer. We talked about this when we did the Eye of the World episode. I know it's like one of the first things, but I really do love the moment where Lan has that hesitation between Moraine and Nynaeve. And I know now we've been talking about how the girls might not be with them at the Eye. So I kind of hope they do that at another time, but I also feel like it wouldn't happen earlier in the season. It wouldn't really happen until after they have that like serious conversation that kind of happens, I think, like the night before in the book where she starts crying and everyone is listening to it. Yeah, I don't know. But
it's a very subtle moment.
Yeah, it's so quick.
I like it.
But it's like, it says so much. It's just like you could see that he would never, before that, like ever hesitate to go in front of Moraine. And it's like literally 1 second that he hesitates and he's like out of the picture. So I just really love that moment.
Okay. I guess I'm next, right?
You are next, Joe, yes.
So I couldn't narrow it down. I have four answers.
Wow. Okay.
Because there's a lot of characters in the book and there's a lot of big character moments. The one that I guess I would want to feel that must be in it. These are all such important things intrinsic to the characters. So, but I guess I'll go with a Rand moment since he is the Dragon Reborn. And I'm going to say that they must put in the scene where Rand almost kills Min.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. My runners up were Egwene captured by the Shaun Chan.
Okay.
Perrin killing the White Cloaks in the beginning, and then Nynaeve breaking her block.
Really good.
Those were my runners up.
Okay.
I might have stole one of yours, Tom. So
no, when I wrote the question, I just thought of the Rand Tam reunion.
Yeah, that's the first Rand moment that popped in my head, and then I said, you know what? I'm not going to go with that because that might be. It's a little cheesy and campy.
No way. it's earned.
It's done well, but like the thought of it is kind of, I don't know.
Someone booed you in telegraphed. Chat, and I also boo you. Boo this man.
You know what it is? It's,
boo.
It's very telegraphed, that scene. You know that's going to happen.
Yeah, but you expect this is why I love it even more, is because you expect it to work and it doesn't. And it's like, oh, no, this is really bad. And that's why I love it.
Oh, you mean the initial time when they first read? Okay, so not when he comes back. Like, wait, and then
that's great too, but whatever.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm talking about like when they meet and like you are like, thank God it's finally happened. And then it's like he goes to kill him. And you're like, oh, Jesus. This is bad. So, okay. But spoilers, guys, remember. All right, anyway. Yeah, so that's my thing. Obviously, that's also me saying that I want the show to go to the end, not like get canceled after the third season. So, all right. So, number four, if you can see, and Jen, I'll ask you this question first. Jen, if you could see the first episode as it exists right now with whatever level of post-production it currently has, but you couldn't tell anyone or talk to anyone about it ever, would you do so?
No.
Oh, I just realized something.
But, and then I'm going to ask you the follow-up question now before I ask Joe. Would a guarantee that the episode was complete, that all post-production was done, this is exactly what everyone's going to see, would that change your opinion at all?
No, because I want to experience it with everyone. I don't, like, there's no use watching it if I can't talk to anybody about it. So, okay. No, I wouldn't.
Well, I mean, you could eventually talk to people
you
about
said
it.
You couldn't
when they
talk
saw
about
it too.
Ever.
Yeah, like, you saw it now.
Oh, is the no. extent of the
question.
I
have to wait till it comes
out. I would
out
be over
to
it
be
by
able
then.
To talk about it.
I'd be like, no, I wouldn't.
All right. Joe, what about you?
I originally put yes, hell yes, but then I just realized that if I did, we really wouldn't be able to do the podcast anymore because I could not be able to talk about, like, no. I couldn't, how would I pretend
to not know,
what's going to happen?
Impossible.
I think it would be impossible. Yes. So I originally put yes in all caps with a big exclamation point, but then I just realized we can't do the podcast anymore. Or at least we can't, we'd have to stop doing the podcast until the show came out.
I just want to share the joy with everyone. And I want us to all collectively feel it together.
I don't need you guys for joy.
Good.
Thanks, man.
If we take the podcast out of it, I would say yes. Of course. I would definitely see it. And the fact that if it was complete or not would change my opinion. It doesn't matter.
Why would you
want to
see it without anybody else knowing?
Because I want to see it to see it. I don't want to see it. I could eventually, talk about it with people when it comes out.
Yeah. No. I'm sticking with no.
All right.
Okay. Well, I have to say no, so.
I would say no, but I would say that if someone told me, hey, it's done, like all the effects are there, it looks as good as it's going to look, that may sway me more towards a yes. And the only reason I would say that is like before the first Captain America movie came out, whatever it was, 6 years ago, I was over a friend of ours, Vinny Pro, friend of the show. I was over his house. It was like a couple of months before the movie came out. And he's like, I've got Captain America now. I'm like, I don't want to watch it. He's like, no, I've got it. We're going to put it on. We're going to watch it now. I was like, I don't want to watch a pirated movie. And like, I realized I didn't want to see it before it was done in case the effects looked bad. But then he was kidding me. And it was like the one with Matt Salinger from 1990. But like, so I do know that like my fear of it not looking as good as it can look and me being disappointed by that is making me more a no than I would ordinarily be. But I do agree, I think, with Joe. Like, I think I would hate to have to, like, lie to everybody for the next few months. Like, oh, I don't know. Or just have to drop out of the show until the show came on. So I would say no. Would you prefer to have the Outrigger sequels have been completed, which is Matt and Fortuana retake Shaunchan, right? So this is after the book is complete. Like, Matt and Fortuana go back with the Forces and they retake Shaunchan. That was supposed to be, like, a trilogy. Or have the prequels be completed, which is a second prequel, which is the story of Tam Al-Thor. And then the third one was how Moraine and Lan found the two rivers and what led them there, right? So which one would you rather have, Joe?
The prequels. I'm not too interested in what happens after the story. I'm much more interested in about the things that are like alluded to and details about those.
Okay.
Plus, I knew about the prequels that they were going, like about the prequels before. I was eager, right? He started writing them. He wrote A New Spring and he was going to write two more. And
right.
So I was looking forward to those. I was never really looking forward to sequels. I never even thought about it really much.
Okay. Jen, what about you?
Does your question assume that he's still alive writing the sequels or somebody else is?
You could say it was him and Sanders. You could say like, whatever. There were more notes that people felt that they could write the sequels. In the same way that they wrote the last three books.
My original thought was prequels because I like how it ends and I would want to know more about the characters that we already know and how they got to the place where Robert Jordan wanted them to end up. And I originally thought, like, I wouldn't want somebody else to take his characters and write what they thought that they were going to do next. But if you're saying he was going to have control over what the story was, it might be a little bit different. But I still think I would pick prequels.
Okay. I would pick the sequels. I don't need to know what happened to Tam. I know enough. I don't need to know how Moraine and Lan got to the Two Rivers. I'm sure it would be an interesting story, but I don't need to know it. I am curious as to, like, what Tuan Fortuana is going to do with the fact that she knows she can channel. Like, is Matt going to try and convince, like, hey, when we retake the Empire, we should end slavery? Like, those are interesting questions to deal with in the Fourth Age. I'd be curious to see whether there'd be cameos by other, you know, beloved characters, or would it just literally be those are the only people we would know were the Shanshan characters that you met in the initial books.
Oh, you know, there's going to be like, you know, Bail Dolman would be in that.
Right, right. Like, are they going to do a cutaway just to, we need help, and I've got an army sailing from Manetherin, you know, like, to assist us or whatever. Like,
Over,
and then you're all excited, and then it's like Will Alcine is the general, you know. But like, whatever. There's plenty of stuff, I feel, of interesting things to explore in a new world, whereas prequels are fleshing out a world that I feel like I know what I need to know. So that's my pick. So in other words, the two of you are wrong. So all right, number six. All right,
maybe I'll stop answering your questions.
No, I'm clearly kidding. All right, so I guess, Jen, I'll ask you this. What are your ideal amount of seasons for the show?
I would like to see 10 seasons. I think I would be happy with that.
Okay. So you believe that, like, the latter books are going to be condensed then?
Yeah, definitely.
And then in a broad sense, how would you tackle that? Like, would you just try and do two books a season? Would you mix plot lines? Like, what would your strategy be for condensing the latter books to get the whole thing into 10 seasons?
I don't have enough memory of all of the different storylines that are going on. I'm sure there's things that can be cut and condensed, you know, stories that can maybe be roped together in some way, or
cut.
Completely. I can't think of anything in specific right now, because I'm sure, like, once you pull at one thread, then it's going to affect a lot of other things that you don't realize. So I'm sure it's actually going to be kind of hard to do. But I think it can be done, and I'm pretty sure Rafe already said he was going to be doing that. So I think they could do it in 10 seasons. I think that's a good amount of time for a TV show.
I agree. All right. I will save the part B of this question for after Joe's response. So, Joe, what is your ideal amount of seasons for the show?
9.
Okay. Are you just trying to, like, name that tune it and just get it in on one of their gen, or is there a reason why you say 9 is right. The right, yes, is right rules?
Right. If we don't go over, we're closest without going over. No. I'm going to say, so books, what did I put here? Sorry. What the hell did I put here?
I don't know.
Sorry. I'm looking at my notes, and for some reason, there's these weird other numbers in there. So the first 6 books, 4 seasons, and then the next 7 to 14, 5 seasons. That's my breakdown.
Okay.
There's going to be lots of storylines being cut, and I predict as the series goes on, the more it's going to stray and the more they're going to cut and paste, because there's a lot of storylines that can be cut that aren't essential to the main story, because I think they're going to really kind of try to focus on the main story and say, okay, what do we need to move this main story along, and what can we cut we don't need? And there's going to be a lot. And as the series goes on, we know there's more and more stories and all kinds of things like that that get thrown in that really only play a kind of like an ancillary role that can be easily, like, done in a matter of an episode or, you know, like a few scenes.
Okay. So to both of you, I'll ask this question, and whoever wants to go first can. If you had the option to either extend the runtime of episodes to be longer than an hour, we know that roughly these shows will be about an hour long, right? Or you can expand the number of episodes a season so that instead of 8, there'll be 10 or 12 or whatever you think is appropriate. But you can't do both. Which would you choose? I feel like both have benefits and detractions depending on what part of the story you're adapting. So
I'm going to say I would keep it an hour and put more episodes into a season. I don't know. Are there any shows that are longer than an hour, like a usual episode? I feel like that's like
not a usual
episode length.
I think more than an hour, you're going to start losing
exactly.
People.
There's like special, though. I remember there were like special episodes of Game of Thrones that went like over a little over an hour. But I think that most people aren't going to pay attention really to a TV show for longer than an hour, just because of like the way television is. It's not like the movies, you know, your attention span doesn't last that long. So I think adding more episodes to a season might help with character building too, because they'd have more time to spend on moments like that and not have to just rush to get the plot in. So,
Joe, do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. There's no way they're going to go more than an hour. It's too much. It's going to be hard for people to sit there for more than an hour to watch an episode of TV. You know, if you think about it, network television, you know, with commercials, if you cut the commercials out, what is an episode? Usually around 45 minutes or somewhere in that vein, 45 to 50 minutes. Mm-hmm. If you're watching like shows on like HBO or Showtime or Netflix, the shows are 50 minutes to an hour. Mm-hmm. And that's long. I started watching The Last Kingdom on Netflix and I was like, when's this episode ending? It feels like I've been watching it for a while. Not because I thought it was moving slow, just because a lot of stuff happened in it. And then I looked and there was still like 15, 20 minutes left in the episode. So that's another thing that kind of makes me think that they're going to be able to cram a lot of stuff in the season, because like episodes are long and you can fit a lot of stuff in an hour's worth of television. And I'd rather them just start extending the length of the seasons, and you know, even if it's only 10 episodes.
I see what you're saying. Although I in general, I think I disagree. I think you're underestimating the attention span of an invested viewer. I don't think that they should make the second episode of the show 90 minutes long. But I think
it's going to turn people off, though. If they see like, oh, this show's like an hour and a half every episode, that's going to So remember that, what was it, that movie or whatever, was it a miniseries? Or was it a movie that, what is Scorsese, that thing that came out?
The Irishman.
How long was that thing? Like 3.5 hours?
4 hours,
like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, I heard about this. And I was like, oh, I like Scorsese. Let me see what these people are in it. I like it. As soon as I saw it was 3.5 hours, I was like, fuck that. I'm not like watching that.
The length of a Marvel movie. But it's different when you're watching it on television at home.
Joe doesn't watch those either.
Ask me the last time I saw a Marvel movie.
Yeah. Right.
Joe, when was the last time you saw a Marvel movie?
Iron Man? What is it? No.
Iron Man 2?
Well, that's probably.
The audience for that, I guess.
I would say that I think that as you go later on to shows, I think that you would want an episode that has Dumas as well, to go longer than the hour. I think that you would definitely want the
every once in a while, yes.
And I think that if you're limiting yourself to like splitting up the last battle episode into like three episodes, I think that
that's an exception.
The last battle is like a movie.
Right.
That should be like the movie for the finale or something, like a 2.5 hour movie or something.
Yeah. So, all right. So, but not for you guys, because you guys chose that each episode will be no longer than an hour. So, that's why I thought that was a hard question, because I think that in general, you're right. But I think that there are specific parts of the story that you would want the freedom to have that entire piece of the story told in one episode without having to cram it into that much.
I thought
you can't
you were
do both, he said.
You can't do both. No, I thought you were saying, like, in general, how long should it be? Like, would I want every episode to be an hour and a half?
No.
Or would I want, like, I would say, like, specialized episodes could be a little over an hour. But I don't know if I have that option.
What he's saying is, though, then you can't have more than 8 episodes a season. Right. You can only have one or the other.
Right. And I think that in reality, what you're describing, Jen, is what's going to happen, right? They're going to do something similar to, like, a Game of Thrones episode time mile, where it's like, okay, there's going to be the same number of episodes roughly every season, whatever. Although I do think that there's a possibility that they might do, here's a season of 6 episodes, you know, or a half season or something like that as things progress. Like,
oh, God, I hope they don't do that.
I think it's a possibility that they might not do it.
I don't like that.
No, I don't either, but I think it's a possibility. I think we have to put all that stuff out on the table. All right.
Okay.
Let's move on.
We're getting... it's getting late here. Let's see what you got next.
All right. More questions. So you must gender switch a character, Joe, who won't appear in the first season of the show. Which character do you choose? So a character that gender switch a character.
I thought about this a lot, and I've come up with something good and original. So I'm going to share it with you and let me know what you guys think. Let's make Gaul a maiden, and then him, Bane, Chiad, Fael, and Perrin just all swing.
Oh, that's hip.
Or her. We can name her Gala.
Just name her Gaul.
Gal.
Gal. Yeah, we'll name her Gal.
Cousin Guy.
It had to be so they could swing.
Not so they could swing. It'll be great. No, because there will be that, like, that relationship between Gal and Perrin. That relationship stays the same.
Right.
For most of the story. And then all of a sudden it kind of changes. I think Bane and Chiad kind of, you know, turn it into a little bit of a...
the porn version of Wheel of Time, which there will be.
Which there will be. Well, eventually. That's another episode where we try to figure out what
that's how the we names, know we've made
the
it.
The names of the different seasons will be.
Oh, I want to do that soon. That'll be fun.
That's next. We'll do that the next time.
We'll turn all the book.
Maybe we should save that for the next Twatcast.
Yeah. Oh, this podcast-a-thon. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Jen. So, what is your gender switched character?
I thought about this a lot too, and it was hard because I wanted to change a guy to a girl because I felt like I don't want to take away from any of the women. I picked Ingtar, and I thought it would be kind of cool because I don't know. Do we have any like women that fight with swords? Except other than like the Geonin of the other than the Seanchan?
Yeah,
like,
there's the whole. I'm actually up to that part in Lord of Chaos where the Kyrianan women start forming up that like.
Oh, right? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
They start learning the sword instead of the spear, and there's all these women who start training.
Well, I thought it would be cool to have some women mixed in with the Shinarans, and I thought it would be cool if Ingtar was a woman. Okay. I don't know. Do they have any women to fight in the Borderland army?
I don't think they fight in the army, but I do think they fight.
All right. I think that it would be cool if they did that for the show because, how many generations of people from the Borderlands have been fighting, you know, the Shadowspawn? I think it would be cool if they had some women that were in their army.
What would you call the character?
Oh, I don't know. It's his last name, isn't it? Ingtar?
No, Ingtar's his first name.
That's his first name. Oh, that's right. Ingtar Shinoa.
Shinoa.
Oh, Shinoa, I don't know. Yeah. I didn't think.
Again, Ingtar.
Ingtara.
Ingtar is not like a gender exclusive. Like, we don't know like a famous like.
It's fun. I'm just for fun.
Ingtar Jones.
Make up a new.
The famous writer.
It's just fun to make up a new name now.
Yes.
I don't know. I wish I had more time. I didn't think about that. I forgot that Ingtar wasn't.
Darling Tara.
Darling Tara. Oh, that's bad.
Darling Tara.
Yes.
God.
Ingtar.
I was on the same wavelength, but I was going a little different. It is a female-dominated society, right, where female leaders are all over the place, but all of the great captains are male. So I had Rodel Itaraldi, or however you pronounce his name. I had that gender switched.
Okay. And
so, Joe, you can have that as Rodella for your okay. own purposes.
Okay? Rodella.
Again, I don't think there's any necessity for that character to be a man, and I don't understand why war is still only the purview of men in the world. So I think that one of the great captains can be a female. All right. So even if the Seanchan don't sound Texan, right, going back to an earlier discussion that we had, do they still sound American? And do you feel that the show has some narrative hay to play with if the American-sounding nation across the sea has to deal with issues of slavery, right? So this is a little bit more of a serious question, I know, but like I think that there's a lot to play with there, both textually and subtextually, about the fact that like we're a vaguely Eurasian, you know, conglomerate of, you know, amalgamated nations here, and then here's this war-focused country from across the sea that's coming in, and they have like all these issues with slavery to deal with. Do you think that they still make the Seanchan sound American, if not Texan? And do you think that, like, they make corollaries to, like, the American slave experience and what's going on with the Seanchan? So, Joe, I leave that to you to answer that heavy question.
All right. You know, Jen mentioned before about Rafe saying, you know, and I think that was Jennifer Chiang Garcia who said that Rafe was encouraging people to use their native accents. So mm-hmm. I'm not sure if we're going to get that Seanchan accent at all. And I don't think that any of this, what you just said will have any effect onto whether they pick an American accent or not, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Well, we don't know who's been cast as Seanchan. So if they're American and they get asked
that's
to
true.
Use
they
their native
to cast
accents,
all,
then.
But from what the casting they've done now, no, it doesn't seem like they care what nationality people are. They're not casting people based on nationality. They're not really casting people based on looks very much. They're casting them based on their acting ability and whether they're, you know, they're able to play the role or they fit the role and not physically.
Right.
So I don't think – I'm not so sure we're going to get the American accents. And if we do, I don't think this is going to play into it, like slavery is going to play into it. And not just because of this, but also because slavery is not exclusive to America.
No, of course.
Contrary to what Americans think. Slavery has been going on and in countries all over the world for centuries. There's still slavery going on in other countries present day. So if they are thinking about that and they're saying, well, we're not going to do a slavery thing and with American sounding because it's too close to home, I think that's kind of dumb because I think it's very, what's the word? It's not ethnocentric, but, you know, it's narrow-minded.
Biopic. And yes. It's putting a too much narrow a focus on it. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, and thinking of like America's the only place that ever had slavery or, you know, did atrocious things like that because it's simply not true. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, it's been going on through history. All different races and cultures have been enslaved. I think doing that is kind of, like you said.
Yeah.
So what was the word you used?
Myopic. Yeah. Yes. For those of you, myopic, picture Mr. Magoo. Right? You need those big glasses to be able to see, right? So, but like, and I want to be clear, what I don't mean that so much as I mean, like, you know, without getting too, like, into, like, political overtones or things of that nature, right? There's things that are still going on in the country today that are very much in the focus of the news over the last few months that deal with the repercussions of, like, the American slave state, right? And
yeah, and
I think that if they chose to, and I'm not saying that they should choose to even, but I think that if they chose to, say, make parallels to that, there are those parallels to play with. I also think that, in general, I do think it would be more interesting, to Jen's point earlier about like the Shanshan accent, to have these invaders be so alien that they don't sound anything like anybody. Like, I think if everyone has like that kind of vaguely British, you know, general Americans impression of what everyone from Europe sounds like.
Yeah.
I think that weakens it. Right. But all right.
Yeah. And I was going to say too, that this show is not, while it's being made by Amazon and I guess it's going to be in English, this is going to be a show that's going to be, I think it's going to be pretty popular around the globe. And it's got a huge international cast of international stars and upcoming international stars. So I don't think while, you know, obviously America, North America is going to be, and Europe too, is going to be probably the main areas that the show is going to be popular in. I don't think they're going to want to try to limit it to that. And I think they're going to want to make sure that they don't start getting into storylines or I think Rafe even said it at the Jordan Con when he Zoom bombed that. You know, he doesn't want to try to put in like present day social issues into the story. He's not going to like shoehorn them in there just to try to make points. And, you know, he wants to keep the story as you know, as close to it as is and not try to make it a commentary on present day society.
Okay. Well, that shuts that down then. All right. all right. So I'm going to skip 8A then. And then right into question 9, on a lighter tone, Jen. Were you disappointed that a knife of dreams was not an actual item?
I don't remember being disappointed, but did we have the knife of dreams as like a D&D object in one of our quests? Because I just remember you guys repeatedly saying knife of dreams like all the time. So that's my main memory of Knife of Dreams.
Okay, so Tom put this question in just for me. Okay. Because of what Jen said. So we would, so I remember Tom, when we got this book, we were working together and we would read the book, you know, commuting back and forth to work. And I think our friend Brendan, who was on the Pronunciation Game episode, was asking us about what the Knife of Dream was. And like, I was really looking to find out I thought it was going to be some sort of Tiarangreal. And half joking, but half serious. And I was very upset that there was no actual Knife of Dreams in the book. So much so that to what Jen's referring to is in a Dungeons & Dragons quest where I was a dungeon master, I put in an item called the Knife of Dreams specifically just to say, yes, there is an item called the Knife of Dreams.
That's it. It's real.
It's real. And you want to know what it did, of course.
Yes, of course.
And, you know, true to Wheel of Time, that Knife of Dreams could cut open gateways to Teleran Riad.
Yes.
And you could enter Teleran Riad using the knife.
Which I think is an awesome thing that should exist in every world.
You know, if Jordan would have asked me, you know, the book might have been just a little bit better.
Why didn't he ask you?
I don't know.
I have a different power for the Knife of Dreams. Mine makes little to no sense, but I had that if you get stabbed with it, it stabs you into Teleran Riad. I don't know how you survive.
That doesn't make any sense.
Stabbing, but you maybe it stabs you and you die and go to Teleron Riyadh like a hero.
Is that like
horn.
Your soul? Is that like the show? The Netflix show? I can't remember the OA. Did you ever see that
no.
show? So it's about near-death experiences. So okay. they travel to like they have a near-death experience and you travel to another place.
Oh, thank you for saying that. I always read it as the OA. Like it was
no,
like
the
where
OA.
The
it stands for original angel.
It was like where the what you call it the Green Lanterns are located. All right, so I agree with everything that Joe said. It should be a real item. It should cut a pathway into Teleron Riyadh. But again, I just put this question in for Joe. So here's my question, follow up question too. What should the Crown of Swords do? Because the Crown of Swords should probably do something too. That's too cool of a name to just be descriptive.
Yeah, I don't know. This was a tough one. I never thought about this.
This is like, it's like totally magic, but so there's like swords all around the crown, right? Like the points of the crown are all different swords. When you tap on the sword, it appears in your hand and you could use it. So if you're wearing the crown, you have access to like 9 swords or however many swords are in around the crown.
I like that.
Yes.
So wait, does each sword have like a special ability?
Yeah,
maybe?
They're all different kinds of swords.
Oh, I like that, Jen. That's awesome. I'm going with Jen's.
All right. So I was similar, but I wasn't there. I had it kind of like a leaf shield from Mega Man that when you wore it and you were attacked, like a wall of swords would appear around you, parrying any blows.
That's
but
cool.
Jen's is better. And I'm man enough to admit that.
Yeah.
all right. Last one. So Jen, if you can cast one super duper mega star in the show, who would it be and for what role not already cast? So sorry, Will Ferrell's Loyal is out. Super duper mega star in the show, who would it be?
I did too because I did a guy and a girl. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Or should I pick one?
Do both.
Okay.
Maybe you can steal both of ours again.
No, probably not. Okay. So I have Johnny Depp as Valen Luca.
Wow.
God. I don't know why, but
Valen Luca's supposed to be like a young man. Johnny Depp's like almost 60.
Just put some scarves on him. It'll be fine. And then I have Brie Larson as Brigida.
Oh, I like that. I like that one.
That's cool. All right. Joe, what do you got?
I have a tough time fad casting things. I came up with a person, but I had no idea who they're going to. I would put Gary Oldman in it, but I have no idea who he'd play. He could play anybody,
he'd
basically,
be one of the
and
forsaken.
He'd be awesome. He could be one of the horses, and he'd be awesome. So
he's Bella.
I did think of him as Forsaken. I thought of him as Demondred, possibly. He's old. He's a little too old, though.
He's old.
But yeah, I don't know. Just put him in there as anybody. He's awesome.
Sounds good. Scarlett Johansson is Grendel.
Oh.
That's the right answer.
Rare says... So I'm sorry, Rare said Gary Oldman as Pedro Nile. I'll do that one. Good one. Yeah. I like that. Sorry, Tom.
That's
all
right.
All over yours.
That's fine. Meryl Streep as Luca and Cad Swain. I like that. I'll also take Meryl Streep as Varen. I think that she could do that very well. Let's see.
Who'd you say?
Meryl Streep as Varen, I think, would also work very well.
You said someone while I talked over you.
Oh, you just didn't hear what I said. Scarlett Johansson as Grendel, which is the right answer. That's just... Perfect casting in my mind. But
okay.
Yeah. I think Tom Hanks in there somehow. Love Tom Hanks. He's a great actor. I don't know who he would play. But
he could be Amon Bunt.
He could play mm-hmm.
Almond Bunt.
It's perfect. Perfect. I feel like Luz Theron's voice is a perfect opportunity to get like a huge name that doesn't have to be in like that you could just get a voice like acting for.
Wait.
Jen is laughing at what I'm laughing at, I bet.
Shaquille O'Neal?
Yes.
As Elder Haman.
Shaquille O'Neal as Elder Haman. Or Haman.
Oh, my God.
I think that's awesome.
Wow.
We need that. That's better, Jen. I think that's better than your Will Ferrell
Listen,
as Loyal.
The Ogier in our show would have been epic. Okay.
It would have been something.
Shaquille O'Neal and Will Ferrell is a dream team.
Oh, wow. I want to see that movie.
Listen, right. With Cameo, we could do anything we want.
We
could fan cast a movie, pay everybody to say the line separately, and edit it together. Why not?
It'll probably be $1,000 or so, but we can probably get a whole scene in there.
Open up a GoFundMe. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's do it.
I should, whatever. Again, I don't even... two people in chat put the same Shaq gif up at the same time. It's awesome. I will say he's not a super duper star, and maybe it's just because he looks a little bit like Max Boot or whatever the dude's name was from Winter Dragon. But
Max Ryan?
Max Ryan, yeah, Max Boot. I don't know
who that is. Yeah. I didn't know what you said. It's not like you were just like saying Max and then I remember his last name.
So. I don't know. I think Max Boot. Boot's some guy I follow on Twitter or something.
Max Boot.
But Christoph Waltz as the voice of Luz Theron, I'd be okay with.
Oh, that'd be good.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. All right, so those are all the questions that we had. We really milked them. So I appreciate the conversation, guys. I hope that everyone else did too. I felt so disconnected because I was just looking at the questions and I wasn't in chat for almost the entire time. So I was like, I hope people are enjoying the show because I have no idea what the feedback is. So I'll find out later. That's all I got, Joe. Back to you.
All right. So let's get this wrapped up. Jen, do we have some new patrons?
We do. We have two new patrons this week. We have Kate Taylor in the company of Chelvannon, and also
thank you, Kate,
joining the company of Chelvannon, Unraveled Pattern, our Aielman that I've cast. Lauren, thank you very much. And thank you to all of our past patrons who are still patronizing us. Thank you very much for your support.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks, Kate, and thanks, Lauren. Appreciate that. A couple of quick other announcements. So I wanted to congratulate @Fel_Herod for winning our 1,000 Twitter follower giveaway. Your mug is on the way. So congratulations for you, and thanks for entering that and supporting us and liking and following us and all that good stuff. For everyone else, you can follow us on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Everything's in our show notes, so go check that out. You can rate and review us as well on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. We really appreciate that. We have to start checking the reviews again, Jen, see if there's any reviews that we can read out.
I'll look for next week.
Yeah, look for next week. Also, we have merchandise. The link for that is in the show notes as well. We have some shirts and mugs and glasses, and I don't remember what else. It's cool stuff. Buy it. Trust me. And then we also have our aforementioned Patreon, so you could check that out. There's a lot of cool stuff on there. You can listen to us do live recordings. You can vote on episode topics. We have Patreon-only monthly bonus content that's on there as well. There's bookmarks and discounts on merchandise. And yeah, so there's a lot of cool stuff on there. So check that out as well. Is there anything I'm missing? I think that's everything, right?
Did you talk about SpoilerCon that we're going to be doing a bunch of stuff?
It's over. It's over already, like, by the time this comes out.
That's true. But like, we're going to be on shows that fans of us may not follow all the time. They can catch us on other people's shows, right?
Yeah, but all that stuff. So right? I think they're going to release it like to the public like a week or so after, or sometime after the con. So
okay.
When I find that out, like definitively exactly when that is, I will share that. We'll post that and share that for everyone to check out. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right.
I'm looking forward to it.
Happy birthday, Lane Casper.
Happy birthday, Lane.
Yeah, man.
Lane Casper of WhatSeries.com.
Yeah. Just saw that in chat. Huge, huge deal. Yeah, okay. That's all I got.
All right. So I think it's time to say goodnight to everybody. And thanks, everyone, for listening. You'll hear us next time.